Today, we have on Anthony Bertolino, brand director with iTrust Capital. How are you doing today, Anthony?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. You actually said my last name correctly without me telling you in advance, so you are on point.
Nice.
Awesome. Good stuff. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in retirement accounts.
Yeah, definitely. So, I graduated from undergrad and I had studied healthcare and dove into sort of the compliance and privacy world. So I worked under a compliance and privacy officer in healthcare. And we dealt with a lot of information security, encryption and protecting healthcare data and a lot of fraud. And one time this case came up where not at our firm, but at another healthcare organization, a bunch of healthcare data was stolen and the person was requesting Bitcoin. And so, I'd heard about Bitcoin a little bit here and there in the past. I'd never dug in. And so my compliance officer brings up the case to me for me to sort of review and create some actionables around it. And, we started talking about Bitcoin and he was like, oh, it's like this fake money thing and it's sketchy, whatever. And so, I spent some time digging up online and ultimately very quickly, I found out about Ethereum. This was in early 2017. I started reading about the EEA, the Enterprise Ethereum Alliance. And, over the past 5 years, basically have completely immersed myself in the Ethereum culture and interacting with on-chain itself, in early 2017 with like ENS, one of Eric Vuori's early project like Prism. And so as you can see on the screen, I also started doing some writing on the subject. But ultimately for my professional career, because this I guess was more passion, Ethereum was passion, I helped build up one of the first crypto retirement account companies. And so crypto retirement accounts, if you're in the US, it probably sounds really weird if you haven't thought about it, but there is a way that people in the US can invest in crypto within their retirement accounts and get these same tax advantages. And so about a year ago, I left the first crypto retirement account firm to help build iTrust, where we're the largest crypto IRA company in the US and in the world. And basically, help people get access to crypto within their retirement accounts. We're almost like a kind of a Coinbase, but for again, for retirement. And so, it's an amazing place to be. I feel very blessed to be working in the industry when it's so nascent. And happy to chat with you guys, whether it's about DeFi, crypto, retirement, life is good.
Excellent. Can you tell us more about iTrust Capital and why the world needs crypto-based retirement plans? Maybe some of the benefits, and for maybe our audience, especially in America, a lot of times financial education is not priority, and maybe some of our audience doesn't even know some details about how a traditional 401k or IRA works. Can you give some details on that?
Yeah, totally. And it really comes down to sort of demographics, right? Where if someone's listening and they're above the age of maybe 35 or 40, they probably have heard of IRAs. They probably have heard of 401ks. For people who are younger or crypto natives, these terms might just sound like old boomer finance, right? Like, oh, it's that Wall Street stuff. But they're really amazing. And I'm happy to have learned about it kind of at a young age and start taking advantage. It's basically the US government has created special tax vehicles that anyone can utilize if they're willing to start utilizing them. And basically it's to create tax benefit, tax incentives, so people don't, grow old and have no money to live on and thus burdening the government. And so IRAs, we'll focus on IRAs. IRAs were created where you can put in money, you can trade tax-free. So you buy Bitcoin at 50K. If it goes to 100K and you sell it, there is no capital gains. So there's no short-term, no long-term capital gains. So you can really, and trading is maybe good or maybe bad depending on your views, but even investing, right? Being able to compound gain year over year, take, risk-adjusted bets, maybe if the risk is too high or whatever, without having to worry about these trades being taxable is just so huge. And so, if you have an existing IRA, you can move it over here, do an IRA transfer, leave those old stocks and bonds behind and get into, say, Ethereum or Bitcoin. We just recently added Chainlink. you know, things like Cardano, which I'm not a fan of, but we also have them. And we can get into, you know, the scalability trilemma another time if we want. But then 401ks, you know, 401ks are similar to IRAs. Basically, if you've worked at a job, they probably offer you a 401k or something similar, which is a sort of a retirement account from your job. You can also roll those over. So if you have an old job that you left and you have, you know, a couple grand, 10 grand, 50 grand, whatever, 100 grand sitting around, you know, you can move that over here and start investing it with these amazing tax benefits. And so, you know, we're short on time to sort of give a whole comprehensive education about it. But from a financial planning perspective, I know a lot of crypto natives, you know, we start buying crypto, we maybe make some trades, we interact with DeFi, and we don't even understand that there might be a way to do this with tax benefits. And so iTrust, we're building the first real mainstream platform to allow those things.
So you said that you need to roll things over from like a traditional IRA or 401k. If you have stocks, because I mean, that's, you know, what everyone's used to. So if you have stocks in your IRA or 401k, what happens in that rollover process?
Yeah, that's a good question. So basically, let's say you have a Charles Schwab retirement account, right? Let's say it has $20,000 in it. You have Apple, you have Tesla, you have some S&P 500 index. You would choose to roll over a portion or all of it. So first and foremost, you don't have to do everything. You can do a portion. You would liquidate whatever you want to roll over into dollars. It arrives at iTrust Capital in dollars. So you can't, you know, send over Apple stock here. You have to send it as dollars. But again, you could sell it in your IRA, sell your Tesla, whatever. It's a non-taxable event. You do a transfer, you move over dollars to iTrust Capital. And now you basically just have an IRA on our platform, right? It's a 24/7 trading platform, very similar to your Vanguard, your Schwab, your Fidelity, your eToro, eTrades, whatever it is. It's a similar experience to Coinbase from a crypto perspective, except there's tax benefits. And, you know, you pick your portfolio. Maybe you buy some Bitcoin. Maybe you buy some Ethereum. Maybe you buy some Chainlink, whatever it is. You control all the trades. There's no financial advisors or anyone to control you. So it's just a 24/7 platform, kind of what you're used to experiencing. But instead of stocks and bonds, it's crypto and precious metals, which is what I'm most bullish on over the next 10 years.
So you're not able to transfer any of your current coins over, is that correct?
Yeah, so that is like the number one most requested thing. The only way to essentially deposit coins like crypto into iTrust Capital is if you already have a crypto IRA. So we're not the first crypto IRA company. We're just the first really good one with low fees, with great experience. So if you have one of these old zombie crypto retirement account companies, you can do what is called an in-kind transfer. So you can move your crypto over from there over to here and you don't have to sell it. But if you have, say, Tesla or Apple stock, you do have to sell that. And now if you have crypto outside of an IRA, you just, maybe you're a degen farmer and you have a whole bunch of ETH and you're like, hey, I want to deposit some ETH into a retirement account. Unfortunately, the IRS does require you to have dollars deposited. So in order to contribute or deposit into an IRA, you do have to put in dollars. And again, it's just an IRS rule, but then you can trade 24/7.
It sounds like the user experience is a lot easier than dealing with smart contracts on some of these different protocols that people might be used to in DeFi. Is that correct?
Yeah. And so, you know, my long-term vision, I really hope to be able to integrate, you know, like three-click deposits into something like Aave. Like there's no reason why, you know, regulation barring, you know, 6 to 12 months from now, you shouldn't be able to take your dollars on our platform and deposit them into a Compound or into an Aave or into an Anchor, or maybe even a Yearn Vault and earn interest, or, you know, to take your ETH and stake it or deposited into Rocket Pool, which is basically like staking it, obviously. I hope to build that into the platform, and not me, right, our dev team. But for now, it's a very vanilla experience, similar to Coinbase. You can buy or sell or trade, you know, 24/7. You click a couple buttons. We're not yet in that, you know, DeFi staking world yet. And neither is Coinbase, right? But we do plan to get there where, you know, the greatest vision for me is in 12 or 24 months, if you can go to itrustcapital.com, you can do your DeFi, you can do your staking, you can earn your interest, but all inside of your IRA. And that, you know, if you have a Roth IRA, it's all tax free. And so like that is a true paradigm shift, which I hope we can bring to fruition.
Okay. Excellent. So you do regular IRAs, you do Roth and 401k then?
Yeah. So for IRAs, there's two kinds, right? There's a traditional IRA and there's a Roth IRA. A traditional IRA, you get a tax write-off when you put in money, you can trade it tax-free. And then when you retire, you have to pay income tax. So traditional IRA, you get a write-off and then you pay taxes when you withdraw it. Just as income though, so it's not nothing too crazy, and you got all the trades tax free, right? Now a Roth IRA is very potent. The money you put in, you don't get a write off, so it's fine. It's money you have from your bank account, you can put it into a Roth, no write off, but that's not a big deal. But now ultimately, you can also trade tax free, and then when you retire, no matter how large you grew your Roth IRA, it's all tax free. So there's a world where maybe you take 50K. And you have it in a Roth IRA, you move it to iTrust Capital. Over the next 10 or 20 years, you turn that into 500K or a million, and then you cash out. There is no taxes with a Roth IRA. And so, you know, it's incredibly potent, and people are just starting to learn about it. And I hope that they will learn about it soon and take advantage.
I have a question about regulation. Is regulation a concern of yours as it relates to how you conduct business with iTrust Capital? Whether it be regarding supported assets such as XRP, it looks like this stopped being supported as of January, or just the legality of crypto retirement accounts in general, or just changes in time to the tax benefits?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So, you know, first and foremost, like we have a team of counsels who do all of our sort of compliance and regulations. And I am definitely speaking from the capacity of like a user and a person who loves the industry, but not an expert. But the way I typically view things is I think we kind of come across from an industry of like most of these things, if they're sufficiently decentralized, are not securities, right? Like Ethereum, like Bitcoin, like a lot of these are not securities. And that's totally fine to trade, right? And you can look at what Coinbase is doing, what Kraken is doing, what Binance US is doing, what a lot of these leaders are doing. And so, yeah, you know, unfortunately we did have to delist XRP based on the moves of the SEC, which, you know, we can debate the merits of. Some people feel really strongly about one side or the other. I feel very strongly as well. I'm all for decentralization and like breaking up of like single intermediaries who like control protocols and development and hold large treasury balances. And that's not decentralized. In regard, I think the craziest thing about the regulations will be when again, and I'm not an expert about this, right? I'm like a proper degen, is like, if we were to integrate a Yearn vault, like what does that look like for retirement account compliance? Like you can interact with a Yearn vault with your own money outside of your retirement account. But when you start factoring in like IRA rules and regulations, like there is nothing written about depositing tax-free IRA money into a Yearn vault or an Aave, you know, money market. And I think that's where it's going to get the most interesting. I think we have pretty good clarity about anyone can buy or sell and trade these assets that are decentralized. And it's very clear with IRA and 401k rules that that's fine. I think the question will be once it gets into DeFi. I have a vision, but I don't know what the regulation will be like, unfortunately.
And I have some more questions too about fees, which you've spoken a little bit about. I know that low-cost trading fees is one benefit. Is that a benefit that comes from the structure of the platform? How is it that you're able to keep fees low in this regard?
Yeah, so it's a very similar model to Coinbase, right? If you go and trade on Coinbase, I think they charge like, you know, 2% per trade. We charge 1% per trade. So, you know, cheaper than Coinbase, maybe similar to like Gemini or a little cheaper than Gemini, a little more expensive than Kraken. Kraken's a little under 1%. So we try to be very competitive with like the sort of main juggernauts of the industry who are doing taxable accounts. You know, we do retirement accounts, but we try to keep our fees competitive. And, you know, we do that by being plugged into elite institutional liquidity sources, right? You know, working with some of the biggest liquidity providers, market makers, and exchanges in the space. And we just kind of abstract that away from the client. So the client, all they see is a nice trading platform. They click buy, they click sell. And on the back end, we're like plugged into liquidity, institutional custody, and all of that, right? All the tech is handled. But, you know, the vision for building a company nowadays is like either charge a really, really high fee, make very large revenues off of that, large margins, and maybe have a smaller user base, like a small amount of people that are willing to pay that. We decided to go the exact opposite model, which is kind of what Jeff Bezos was inspired by. It's like you go as low as possible, you make as little money as possible, and you just try to scale globally for everyone to get access. And if you're providing something useful, even if you're charging very low fees, it'll still be, you know, a profitable business. And so, yeah, we're the lowest cost provider in the space. And again, even cheaper than people like Coinbase.
Excellent. And what do you see as being the biggest hurdle in getting this mass adopted? Do you think education is the biggest piece of it or something else?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think like culturally speaking, not a lot of people focus on retirement or think it's valuable. And so I think the narrative or the story has to just come down to like taxes. Like, do you not like paying high taxes? Do you want to save on taxes? If so, you should probably get a crypto IRA. The whole like retirement benefit, I think, you know, smart people are focusing on, right? Because I mean, there's even the world of early retirement. Like, I'll start pulling out of my retirement accounts in the next like, you know, 3 to 4 years probably. And you still get all the same tax benefits if you quote unquote retire early. You can still work. It's just like it's sort of just like a checkbox, and you quote unquote retire and you can take money out of your retirement account. So like, I think people just need to really figure out, you know, like you mentioned, education, awareness. Also like the word crypto IRA, it sounds like it's like a whole new thing, and it really is like a whole new industry, a whole new thing. And so people need to just take the time to sort of understand. And then you also have people outside the US, like they're not allowed to, they don't have these same benefits. So like it's US only, but I think we're trying, you know, we're doing a good job of raising awareness. I'm very passionate about it myself.
Brought up something I want to chat about real quick is capital gains tax. That's what happens essentially at this point when you try and cash out any kind of growth that you've made. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, to make it really clear is like, if you buy one ETH at $2,000, and then you sell that one ETH at $4,000, you now have made $2,000 of profit, right? You have your original money, but you have $2,000 of profit. If you're in the US, you now have to pay taxes on that, either short-term or long-term capital gains, depending on your holding time, but you're coughing up 20, 30, 40, 50% of that money. Like, you might literally give half of that money to the federal and the state, depending on where you live. If you made that trade in an IRA, you bought one ETH at 2000, you sold that same ETH at 4000, you still have all $4,000. You do not owe any taxes if you did it inside the IRA. And so that's what's so powerful, is just like this compounding of tax advantages.
Do you guys offer funds at all, such as like a fund with gold, Bitcoin, and Ethereum? Or is it just all basically education based and everyone picks which assets they want to be a part of their fund or their...
Exactly. Yeah. So it's almost like building your own mini fund, right? Like if you load it up with $1,000 in a crypto IRA, even though I call it crypto IRA, we have precious metals. Yeah, you could put $100 into ETH, $200 into gold, $300 into Bitcoin, and then the rest into Chainlink, whatever. You control everything. We just provide the straight, you know, physical vanilla assets themselves. They're put into cold storage when you buy it, and you control everything. You know, again, very similar to like using Coinbase.com.
Okay. And when you're actually holding gold, is that like a synthetic asset?
That's a great question. So synthetics are super interesting, and I think they're going to like democratize access for a lot of people in the world who don't have traditional financial services. But for us, no, this is real physical gold, physical silver. It's vaulted at the Royal Canadian Mint. So we have a partnership with, or a relationship with Kitco, kitco.com, the largest precious metal vendor in the US and Canada, or one of the largest. And so basically these are physical metals vaulted at the Royal Canadian Mint, which is like the most, one of the most secure vaults in the world. Like you could look that up, the RCM. And then that ownership is ledgered on the blockchain. And so instead of like putting, you know, shares in a vault, issuing like paper notes, or like putting it on a database, the notes, this is all ledgered on a blockchain. So the accounting, the transfers, the ownership, it's all on the blockchain. It makes accounting better, you know, tamper proof, auditable. And so, yeah, you're buying and selling real physical claims on this gold. And so it's real physical, essentially.
Okay. So then iTrust Capital operates on a blockchain model.
Yeah. So like it's a little, a way to avoid generalizations is like the only time we have our accounting on a blockchain is with the gold and silver. Although we do interact with blockchains like all day when we're sort of moving or buying or selling, like, you know, Chainlink, for example. Like if a client buys $1 million of Chainlink, we have to settle that with our liquidity providers. Assets are actually moving in and out of, say, cold storage or hot storage wallets. And so it's real, you know, real physical crypto, real physical metals. And we are interacting, you know, with the blockchains themselves, but we're not like a blockchain company necessarily.
So if somebody was investing in gold, like let's say they wanted to cash that out, what would happen? Like, what's that process like?
Yeah. So kind of two ways. So A, you can just liquidate to dollars at any time, right? So if you hold Bitcoin or you hold gold, you can just sell for dollars anytime. Now, what's really cool about our platform is for when you retire, you do something called a distribution. You know, distribution, you take money out of the account. You're just distributing it. We allow physical distributions. So if you hold Bitcoin or if you hold gold or Ethereum, you can take physical distribution of those assets when you retire. So we'll send the Bitcoin to your wallet, or with the gold, we basically load you up an account at Kitco and you can like check out and get real physical gold or silver delivered to your house. And so this is like this physical delivery component ability is huge. You know, if you're going to retire in say 10, 20, 30 years, you might not even want to sell for dollars, right? Like you literally might not even want to go back to dollars in your account. You maybe just want to get your Bitcoin or your Ether sent to your wallet as a distribution. And so we do allow for physical distributions.
I had a question too about, since a 401k is connected to an employer, I would imagine that there's more regulation and hurdles around doing that versus just setting up an IRA, you know, obviously just yourself. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like what's different in that process, especially once you involve crypto?
Totally. Yeah. So 401ks are a lot more of like a sheltered system. It's owned by a few, well, quite a few like 401k provider companies who like wholesale to regular companies, like employers. So we don't offer a 401k plan natively. What we allow is if you have a 401k plan, you can roll it over. Right. So if you have an employer, if you've left that employer, or if you're over the age of 59 and a half, you can just move those 401ks into a crypto IRA. It's just called a rollover. And so everything we do is technically an IRA structure. But if you have a 401k or a 403b or a TSP, some of these company retirement accounts, you can roll them over and turn them into an IRA, you know, non-taxable event.
That brought up something for me too. So kind of answered one of my questions, but do you have plans to integrate anything where employers actually could start funding things just fully in crypto for their employees?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there is the whole world of SEP IRAs, and that's SEP, stands for self-employed plan. And so with a SEP IRA, we technically do allow companies to open retirement accounts for their like key employees. But 401ks themselves are sort of different tax shelters. I don't think we'll go into the world of 401ks, at least in the near future, but we do allow SEP IRAs. So if someone has a business, you're self-employed or you have employees, whatever, we do offer self-employed plans, SEPs, and you can open up an SEP and you can also open up like a Roth IRA. So you can do both. So self-employed people who own businesses have these additional benefits, these additional accounts. And those are called SEPs. And we have those as well.
Is the price for those the same, like the monthly cost? I think it's like,
yeah, it's the same.
So I guess another question of mine, what made you guys choose the crypto offerings that you do at this point?
I joined the company about a year ago. I would say that most of our team, like they're very familiar with retirement accounts. They're, you know, very familiar, like our founders, very familiar with investing in alternative assets, but they're not like crypto natives, right? Like they're not really too deep into the weeds about crypto. They know it's the future. They like it. Right. And so I think that their model was sort of just kind of taking the, maybe the top 10 and sort of what seemed like it was in demand. And as you, as anyone knows who's been in the industry for a while, like this market moves in waves, you know, like Lisk and Ardor, Neo, these were so popular in 2017, 2018, and they're essentially non-existent now. Like they're probably still shipping something, but like no one uses it, right? And so moving forward, whenever we add new assets, it's definitely ones that are in high demand, ones that seem like they have longevity. And I think we'll see the sort of top 10, top 20 cryptos of like market capitalization continue to change. I think like DeFi will continue to rise up higher. You know, I think things like Litecoin probably underperform and probably go down and out of the top 10 or top 20 over the next 5-10 years.
We were just talking about that right before you hopped on the call with us, Litecoin. That's
totally
both of us have
the definition of a ghost chain.
Yeah, it's just to me, you know, I know it's like essentially what was it, probably the second crypto to come out or something very similar,
like the altcoin to like one of the earliest altcoins of Bitcoin, because I'd heard of Litecoin, but that and XRP are two things I haven't really looked into a whole lot.
Yeah, so I mean, I've studied almost all these projects in fairly in depth, and I think Litecoin, like the bull case is like it has Lindy means like the longer something's been around, the longer it's likely to continue to be around. Its chain seems fairly secure. It has really strong branding and like a really good meme, like silver, Bitcoin silver, right? And like retail loves it. But the bear case is that like there's almost no developers, there's almost no real users, and like no one cares about it other than speculators. Yeah. And so I think that there's like a recipe where it'll be interesting to see where it is in 10 years. I don't hold any, but I do see why some people might be bullish on it.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at too, is it just seems like, you know, it's been around for a long time and people just use it for that same reason.
What do you think about some of the other DeFi protocols that are trying to replicate other financial instruments, such as insurance? You know, you have Cover and Nexus trying to do those.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think that if you're able to take the existing sort of mutual model of insurance companies where like people pool capital, people take shared risk, this like insurance mutual, like which is what Nexus Mutual is doing, I think it can be very interesting when you start utilizing like smart contracts and like a DAO structure. I also think that like, you know, for example, with me, like, you know, I pay for my own health insurance, right? And then like, if I go need to get a surgery, like it needs to be approved. And insurance companies like are known to try to finagle their way out of things. Like, oh, you don't actually need this surgery, or like, oh, whatever, like whatever. They'll try to make some excuse. You know, car companies do this, health insurance companies do this, fire insurance, earthquake insurance. And so to have something that would just be completely on a smart contract using an oracle, like was there an earthquake on this date? Was it this magnitude? And does your insurance policy cover that geographic area? It's like, oh, yes, my house is in this area. Yes, there was an earthquake of this magnitude confirmed by like an off-chain oracle like Chainlink. Then yes, my insurance policy pays me out. Like that's really nice for cutting out like bureaucracy and politics. There can be issues with that, but I think like that's fundamentally very powerful.
I've got, like precious metals, I want to hop over to that real quick. I've owned gold for quite a while, and looking at the price, I've realized for the past 10 years, it's basically not even worth looking at as far as I'm concerned, because basically like, you know, I was looking at the price of gold when it peaked back in 2012. It's hit like higher places recently, but I mean, essentially it's about the same as it was in 2012. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's had almost no growth in nearly 10 years. And had I taken my, you know, couple ounces of gold that I've got and invested that into Bitcoin back in 2012, I'd be a multimillionaire right now.
Totally.
So what is the purpose of putting money into precious metals? Because I haven't checked silver's price either, but I know it's, you know, nothing particularly impressive.
Yeah, I think what's firstly most important is to understand the cyclicality of markets, right? Like markets are cyclical, markets move in waves and in cycles. We've been in like, you know, 10 plus years of an expansionary economy, like debt growing like crazy, and like equities and, you know, insane bull market with like relatively low interest rates, you know, though, and low inflation. I think that creates the reason why gold has been in a bear market and like essentially consolidating for the past like 5-10 years, right? Like I started buying gold nearly at the peak 10 years ago. Definitely like, you know, RIP to me. I should have been buying equities when I was younger. It's fine. But I think that it's really important that like it's still on the balance sheet of major governments and like, you know, like large funds. I think that, you know, the next 10 years for gold, including the last 1 or 2 years, as you've seen, I think the next 10 years for gold is very bullish and the last 10 years were bearish. And I think that, you know, high inflation, loss in confidence in the dollar, people are finally starting to realize that they literally just print dollars out of thin air and that the dollar is not this like all powerful tool. And I think the world is waking up to this. Like I've had so many conversations with people in my demographic, like in their 20s and early 30s that like, oh, I didn't even know that the government just printed money. Like I didn't know that the dollar like is a sort of like made up thing. And this is a paradigm shift that's happening to people's consciousnesses. And I think over the next 10 years that's why I'm super bullish on precious metals and super bullish on crypto assets.
Yeah, I know that, you know, I just talked to someone maybe like 2 weeks ago who still thought that like all of our dollars were backed by gold.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, yeah, you're about like what, 60 years behind now on that?
Yeah, it's still a narrative that exists. It's crazy.
It was Nixon, I believe, like probably back in 70 or 71 or 72 or something like that, that they took the dollar off of the...
backed by the gold standard or whatever.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. And I wrote like an article about this that I'm super proud of that I think will stand the test of time. And so like, you know, people can look this up. It's called Global Debt, Ethereum, and a New Open Financial System. So Global Debt, Ethereum, and a New Financial Open System. This is a single name of a blog post I wrote in 2019. And it kind of goes into that, right? It goes into, you know, the massive amount of printing, the massive amount of debt that's being grown, the ever lowering interest rates, the lowering of the dollar's purchasing power. And then, you know, you get this paradigm shift. Oh, but there's this new digital currency, you know, called Ether. It has better monetary policy. It's provably scarce. And there's a whole new financial system being built on top of it, right? With like credit and stocks and bonds and real estate and stable coins and insurance and identity systems. And, you know, again, this was in 2019. So we've quite evolved in terms of DeFi since then, but I feel like this is the kind of macro cap to make sure people keep on is like, look at what's happened the last few years in crypto. Look at where we're going with like a digitally native economy and these like amazing smart contracts that allow new sort of businesses, and make sure you're investing in that to some degree. And if you can, you know, in my opinion, if you can load up ETH in an IRA, you're probably going to be a happy camper 10 years from now.
Yeah, that's what I was really hoping to do. I just filed my taxes Saturday of last week.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I was really interested in trying to diversify into, you know, crypto IRAs and stuff like that. But at the time I was just like, yeah, you know what? I'm just gonna eat it for a year and start prepping for this next coming year.
Yeah. And the good thing about IRAs is like, you know, you can contribute anytime. You can only do 6,000 per year for a new IRA contribution. So like if you don't have an IRA, you can always contribute, but you can only put in 6,000 per year. So you can't just put all your money in there, right? It's specifically designed to incentivize people to think long-term. And so, you know, what my opinion is on the matter is like every year people should be maxing out their IRAs.
Yeah.
You can only put in 6,000. I think people, you know, they cut a few lattes, they don't go to Chipotle a couple times a month, and you instead put that money into an IRA. If you can, you can max it out if you can. It's going to be huge in 10 years from now. Like it's the small things that make a big difference over the long term.
Yeah. And that's how I especially feel about crypto too, because, you know, to me, that's like, outperforming basically every stock I have. There's a couple that, you know, in the longer term have done fine, especially, you know, the stock market's been pretty good over the last year, all things considered. But yeah, I mean, with crypto investments, I would rather have that sitting there in Ether or Bitcoin, even if it's not earning like any kind of interest in DeFi.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I think is really great about this too, I mean, even when you add the precious metals component to it, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not technically, like, I'm not particularly excited about gold or silver or anything like that. But when you bring those traditional financial instruments to things like, you know, IRAs, and then you couple it with cryptocurrency and you make it easy, it also is a way to introduce people who maybe are more comfortable with gold and silver to something maybe they're less comfortable with. And then they start seeing a bigger return to it. And that's how you grow the market and get other things going. One product I'm pretty interested in, don't own any of it, but it's from Index Coop. They have, I think MVI. It's called DED, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and DPI. But it's basically like the DeFi Pulse Index, Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then they also have like gold indexes and different things. But in my view, creating things that people believe are low risk and integrating them with crypto, I think that's a huge step for adoption.
I totally agree. I mean, and that's why I think the crypto IRA industry, it has the ability to really bring in like a lot of boomers and a lot of this older money into crypto. Cause it's like, hey, you know, I don't have that much money in my bank account that I want to throw at Bitcoin, but maybe I got a couple $1,000 in my old IRA or my old 401k that's just sitting there in bonds, and maybe I want to go test it out. And so maybe they'll start with silver, or maybe they'll do gold or crypto as well. But I think people really underestimate where, like, you know, Coinbase is good as a normal on-ramp, but not everyone wants to drop money out of their personal bank. But if they can pull a little bit of money out of these like seemingly foreign, out of their grasp accounts like IRAs, it can be really powerful. And then like Index Coop and Balancer are the two really important players, in my opinion. You know, I'm good friends with Anthony Sassano, who ran Set Labs for a while, their marketing, and which is basically part of Index Coop. So really excited about DPI. I usually always tell people, it's like, hey, I want to start investing in DeFi. What are some coins you suggest? Like, and instead of them giving them the runaround about Yearn and Aave and Synthetics, which they're not going to understand anyway, you just tell them to buy DPI, right? You get broad-based exposure. You know, another company, PiDAO, is also doing something like this. It's built on top of Balancer. So I'm definitely an investor in Balancer as well. I think it's important infrastructure. But I think indexes, like you mentioned, are really powerful to give people broad-based exposure. And then if you can sort of brand it like, you know, a mix of dollars, a mix of gold, a mix of crypto, a mix of DeFi, that seems pretty attractive where, you know, people can get diverse exposure.
Yeah, Alpha Lemonade always had a way of saying it: stay comfy in bed, Bitcoin, ETH, and DPI. And it makes exactly sense, because if you have a stable investment, you don't need to worry about smart contract failures and be up late at night because something just crashed. You know, having that totally peace of mind with your investments is definitely important.
And DPI still is like built on smart contracts, right? It's important to note. But it doesn't, you know, so it doesn't mean it's risk-free. But yeah, I mean, like, having to look at all the different DeFi protocols and then make assumptions about future growth and look at the fundamentals and look at the teams, it's like, you know, I do that stuff because I'm a full-time investor as well. But like, a normie should just straight up buy DPI, and they might even outperform me anyway, just because, you know, I might make wrong choices.
What are some of your other favorite projects or coins, I guess, in the DeFi and even NFT space right now?
At my heart, you know, I'm not an Ethereum maximalist, but people would call me that. You know, I think that Ethereum will be the global settlement layer of sort of the future of finance. It clearly already is. But I also think that there's interesting things popping up in other ecosystems, but they make a lot of trade-offs, right? So like, you know, Terra is an example. Like Terra and its mirror and its anchor, it's like sort of ecosystem they're building out. Like, I think it's really interesting, and I think it's really useful, and I think it's a good project, but it's still like a delegated proof of stake model. I mean, I still can't really run a node. Like, those things are growing so fast. And so, you know, the Cosmos ecosystem, I think, is interesting. Polkadot, I think the Substrate framework itself, you know, Compound is moving over to Substrate. So I think that's important to note. Like, I think it's really powerful. But I do think ultimately when we get, you know, ZK rollups and even optimistic rollups going, I think that there's no reason why you would build on another chain. The reason why you'd build on another chain normally is because of transactions per second. But with optimistic rollups, like, you still get all the good tooling, the Ethereum tooling, you get all the good, you know, theoretically good composability, while also keeping like Ethereum security assumptions and decentralization. And so I think that's important. But I mean, I invest widely across the space. I can talk about so many projects. I love everything. I love playing with these stuff and using the stuff. And I feel like right now it's a renaissance to be an investor. I feel so blessed to be an investor right now and be paying attention. Like, I feel like we live in the best time ever in history to be an investor.
It's a fun time, especially with the advent of, the NFTs kind of coming into the forefront. Cause that it is like, I've tried to describe that to a lot of people, is this is like the art renaissance of our time. You know, this is our version of cubism. This is our version of realism or surrealism, you know, our version of pop art. This is like the art movement that our generation is living through.
100%. I mentioned that on the Clubhouse not too long ago. It's like our generation, no one cares about art. Like, and I'll be honest, I never even care about art. It's like, okay, like, it's cool. Like, I would like to go to museums. I'd like to go to old churches. Like, but I never looked at like new artists or like even really thought about if I would care to own art or like any of that. And now because of NFTs, like, everyone cares about art. Everyone's looking at art. Artists are finally feeling like they are revitalized and what they're doing might be, you know, useful. And so, you know, it's the renaissance for art for sure. It's amazing time. And, you know, I think valuations are crazy. Like, I own, you know, the full open edition set of Beeples. I own the full open edition set of the Pac and Trevor Jones drop. Like, you know, I have more money in NFTs than I think is reasonable, but it's also about, not about the money sometimes, it's about owning a piece of history, appreciating art, wanting to support the artist and things like that. Hashmaster also are awesome. Very happy to own one of those. I think that the next kind of hype cycle you'll see, and this is my prediction, I could be wrong, I think Avastars is going to have a hype cycle over the next couple months. I think people that missed out on the punks, I think Avastars, even though it has like a higher quantity, I think you're going to see people start aping into Avastars.
I have not heard of Avastars before. Can you explain it a little bit?
Yeah. So they're one of the more OG projects, but basically the story is like, the lore is that like, there's these Avastars, these like people who are, I don't know if they're like on the moon or like on another planet. And if you go to Avastar's website, you can like see all of them, and then you can like pay essentially to rescue them or own them. And so it's similar to punks in a way. It's like a head with like custom hat or custom hair or custom art, whatever. And it's not custom. It's like, it's generative. So it's like generated, I guess, on chain. I'm not sure the terminology, but there's already some that are worth a lot of money. Whale Shark is an early investor in some of like the really rare pieces. I don't necessarily think it's definitely like an investment people should make, but I think that like Avastars are super dope, and I'll probably, yeah, I have one Avastar. I'll probably get a couple more. I just haven't spent the time, and I hate giving away my ETH personally. Like, if you start buying NFTs, you give away all your damn ETH.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the hardest part about it for me, for sure. I love the technology. That's particularly what I'm most excited about. And I've seen some great art. I guess I just don't trust myself to decide like which art piece is worth me spending my ETH on. But I have purchased a couple NFTs. With regards to this project, though, I think I'd seen something about it, or maybe it was something different. But somebody had like a CryptoPunk, but then they had like a different body put on it or something like that. Is that essentially how it works, or is that something different?
That's something different. Yeah. So someone dropped a project that was like CryptoPunk bodies, where mm-hmm. if you had a punk, they airdropped you a body, and then they like sold the rest of the bodies, and sort of it's like you can have a body for your punk. Avastars is totally different. It's its own project. It's its own lore. It's Avastars. So Avastars. definitely not, in my opinion, an investment, definitely like sort of like a toy, like an art toy. So, you know, keep that in mind if people are spending money, but I think they're really cool. I think you're going to see it get really popular.
Going back to kind of like the crypto and DeFi space itself, is one of the biggest things about that that, you know, is it's a big issue. There's a lot of issues trust-wise with crypto and DeFi, even though it's all supposed to be a trustless environment. There's been protocol hacks in the past, and that's been pretty devastating for a lot of people. How does something like iTrust Capital avoid a hack of that nature?
Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost, like, you know, rug pulls, smart contract hacks, Julian arbitraging, quote unquote, arbing people is definitely like something to pay attention to. Like the stuff going on in crypto is not like risk-free, right? What we do at iTrust Capital though, is we're very conservative, right? So you, as of now, you are just buying and selling crypto at spot, you know, physically settled, and then it gets sent to cold storage, right? Through Curve, who was just acquired by PayPal. Very secure, very safe. But in the future, I do hope to support DeFi protocols, support staking, lending, things like that. That's where, you know, we hope to have robust education, letting clients know is like, hey, if you deposit money into whether it's a lending market like BlockFi or whether a lending open source market like Aave, it's like, hey, these are the risks. This is not FDIC insured. There's some risks here and there's some potential rewards here. For the purposes of iTrust Capital, I think education is important. And then for the purposes of like normal people just kind of playing around on Ethereum, I think it's just, it's a new space, you know, check if there's audits, you know, speak to people who's using them. I think, you know, David Hoffman is one of our, in my opinion, like early philosophers of this industry, where like, if you pay attention to David Hoffman's writings, he makes a lot of predictions that come true. So like he wrote about quote unquote money games. So money games, he wrote about money games like 2 years ago. And now everything we do, like farming and a lot of this DeFi stuff, is like kind of like money games, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Totally. And then he wrote about essentially the protocol sync thesis. And so one way you can think about these smart contracts, in my opinion, is time value. So how long has it been around? And then you multiply it, or you also consider locked value. How much is locked? So if you take this time and plus value locked multiple, you can see maybe how secure something is, because the longer something's been around, the more money it's held, the more likely it's been attacked or tried to be attacked. And if it has not been attacked, the more secure it likely is. And there's no other way to really evaluate these protocols. So I think it's important if people put money into things like staking or lending or smart contracts, how long has it been around? How much money is inside of it? And make sure you consider both of those multiples.
You said something really interesting that I want to elaborate on a little bit. So you mentioned, and I want to make sure I'm understanding you correct. So let's say you have an IRA. Are you talking about potentially a situation where you could lock your IRA up in Compound, just to give you an example, and then you could borrow DAI against it and then go farming with the DAI? Is that the kind of concept you're talking about?
So that would be like the most advanced version, right? Like that would be like level three. Level one, which I hope goes live this year, would be, yes, if you have your IRA with us and 90% of your money is in Bitcoin or ETH, but maybe 10% of it's in dollars, you can then deposit those dollars into Compound or Aave to earn interest. Now, when we get into then borrowing and like redeploying and quote unquote farming, like, yeah, that's a long ways away. But at the very least, to be able to deposit your dollars and earn interest, I hope that's this year. If it was up to me, it would be in the next couple weeks. But again, there's legal, there's technical, yeah. There's a lot of things that have to be considered.
Yeah, because I would think that would totally throw a bunch of stuff out the window in terms of your tax benefit, right? Because if you're able to leverage it right now in real time and then use that in real time, I mean, I'm not a fan of regulation, but I could see exactly what issue that would impose.
Yeah, and then there's the whole question of the pooling of funds. Technically, Compound has a lot of money from non-KYC participants. So you have like what is essentially a money pool or a capital pool that's non-KYC'd, which like brings up tons of questions. And like, you know, me as a user and a guy who supports open finance, I don't care. But the guy, you know, who works at iTrust Capital and is helping protect retirement accounts and has to help consider compliance things, like, yeah, there's questions that need to be answered.
Oh, geez. Yeah, the educational component and legal frameworks, like just everything you'd have to look into to even educate your users about using something like that. But it is fascinating if you could do something like that, you know, even 5 or 10 years from now. That's pretty exciting.
100%. Yeah. And I just think we need some champions to get into, you know, political places to start pushing forward the awareness, because, like, you know, you can have a 50, 60 year old regulator who just automatically thinks this stuff is bad and, oh, boom, now you can't even interact with it. We're like, that's not fair, you know, but if they're not educated, if they're maybe even too old to understand the sort of paradigm shift that's occurring, then things are going to be delayed for many, many years, unfortunately.
Yeah. I see that, one of your target demographics is kind of younger investors. I do see on your iTrust Capital Twitter that you guys meme a lot, which is cool. What other ways do you try and reach out to them? And, you know, kind of coupled with that, do you feel that a lot of younger investors have very much to invest considering the economic collapse of 2008 and then what we've been dealing with for the last year?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, in regards to memes, like, I feel like the world is starting to understand memes in a sense of, like, you can make, like, very powerful, you can share very powerful ideas or bits of information with, like, a single photo and maybe some words if it's done correctly. And I think that's, like, really powerful. I think, like, the older generation is starting to understand memes, which is so cool. So yeah, we do definitely.
we'll have to start creating some minion memes for them.
Yeah, totally, man. I think memes are the way. I mean, I think that, like, you know, tax-free crypto is a great meme. I think, like, you know, programmable store of value for Ethereum is a great meme, or ultrasound money is a great meme. And I think that, like Bitcoiners have done so well, right? It's like, oh, 21 million hard cap, or like digital gold. It's like digital gold. Like, dude, that's the best meme that the Bitcoiners ever came up with, because now everybody understands. And so, yeah, I think it's powerful to be able to condense complex things into, like, a single sentence or a single image to help, you know, people understand things. But yeah, like, we accept the young demo, we accept the old demo. I'd say most of our clients are in that 35 to 55 range, probably. Young people, even if they don't have money, they should definitely be starting to start retirement accounts if they can, in my opinion. I think that every 18-year-old should have a Roth IRA if they can, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely. I need to set mine up.
Yeah, exactly.
You're late, dude.
Well, just having worked for myself for so many years, you know, and anytime I would go into, like, a corporate job or something like that, I generally knew I wasn't going to be there super long. I had a certain, like, angle or something I was trying to learn, some experience I was trying to get. But I wanted to set one up for my business. And now that I know that there's a crypto option, that's definitely something I'd be about. I'm very big into ETH, so I could see myself maxing out every year with just ETH deposits, however that's possible.
That actually brings up, I guess that kind of answers my own question, because you said you can't transfer ETH, you have to, like, sell it and transfer. And then just
for deposits.
Say, like, you know, how do they determine what your actual input was if you're just swapping coins over? But yeah, that makes
sense. So again, the only time you need US dollars is for new contributions going into an IRA, right? So, like, once you have money inside of an IRA, you can buy or sell crypto anytime, right? But putting money in, the IRS requires it to be in dollars. So, and you know, this keeps the dollar being important. If, like, everyone could put in crypto into their IRA, people would never even touch the dollar again, right? Like, and why would you hold your crypto outside of an IRA? You would just deposit it into an IRA, right? Yeah. And so, you know, again, you have to fund it with dollars, but then you can trade inside.
Also, do you have any bandwidth concerns? I know you've talked about ZK rollups, I think at least once or twice. And I know that is a big part of scaling for many projects as they integrate those. I know Numio is big with ZK rollups. Can you speak a little bit to that in terms of just being able to scale this as interest grows in this product?
Yeah. So it's important to note that, like, iTrust Capital, we're like a traditional financial services company, so to speak, right? Like, we have regular databases, we have regular front end infrastructure, we have, like, a whole tech stack. we don't exist as like a dApp. Like we're not a dApp. Like we don't live on Ethereum. Like I love Ethereum, and I think layer two scaling discussions are really fun and can be quite long-winded and a lot of different ways to go about it. But for iTrust Capital in particular, I mean, we're a company, we're like Coinbase. Like, you know, Coinbase was able to grow this much while Ethereum didn't even, you know, do much at all, right? In the first couple of years. So Ethereum scaling would only mean for us is like maybe Ethereum price goes higher and maybe clients are happier. But for the purposes of our company, it really doesn't really affect anything.
I get you. I'm just thinking like composability and how you interact with, you know, obviously crypto environments. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, once we do start allowing like lending and interacting with DeFi, that will be a lot of questions, right? Like for right now, do you deposit your money into Aave layer one, or do you deposit your money into Polygon Aave? And like the obvious answer is it depends on a lot of things, like, you know, security assumptions. Like layer one Ethereum is the most secure, and Matic is a sort of like side chain with, you know, maybe a centralized validator set potentially. But it still brings up a lot of questions once layer twos roll out, is like, where do you want to go? Because now there's a lot of different places you can go.
I get you.
Let's say that you have, you know, some Bitcoin or ETH and you want to sell that, and you go to Coinbase, sell that. And then technically they would be reporting that to the IRS at that point. But let's say you transfer that over to your IRA. So how does that kind of work for people? You know, would you like be claiming that, but then showing them in some way that you actually transfer that to an IRA?
Well, yeah. So any trades you do outside of the IRA are likely taxable, right? So that's important. So if you bought some crypto, you sold it on Coinbase, you might owe taxes. But now if you send the money to iTrust Capital, then what you do is you're making a deposit, a contribution. So you're contributed to your IRA. And then moving forward, anything you do with that money is now has tax benefits. But anything you did before, you know, still has the capital gains. But yeah, you know, there is some sort of reporting when you make contributions. You know, you put it on your tax forms that you, hey, I contributed $6,000 this year. The government has a record. They keep track of if you ever made deposits, right? So that's why IRAs are good to just build up year over year.
And how easy do you make that process, I guess, for users? Is there like a reporting section of their account? Do you issue them forms every year for tax reporting? What do you do to make that process, I guess, easier?
Yeah, so the full paperwork and compliance and all that, yeah, so we make everything very easy. We use DocuSigns, we give extra copies digitally. We send out year-end reports. Basically, as long as a person knows how to use TurboTax or has a CPA that, you know, understands anything, it's very easy.
Were there any other projects that you wanted to discuss before we wrap up?
You know, I could talk forever about crypto and about Ethereum. I would just say is like, I hope people really pay attention to kind of market sentiment and they really take care of themselves. It's easy to put all your money into crypto when it's too high and then to sell it when it gets lower. And just because they were not focusing on the long-term, I think the best thing people can do is you have a long-term vision, you have a long-term thesis. If you're buying things without a thesis, well, my opinion is if you couldn't write one paragraph at least on why you're investing in something, then you definitely should not, right? And I think a lot of speculators in the space, they might see a couple memes, they watch a YouTube video, and then they put their life savings in an XRP, and then they get sucked into this like rabbit hole, right? That is really scary. And so just be careful, focus on the long-term, you know, protect yourself, open an IRA, things like that.
Absolutely, education is so important. And how can our audience get in contact with you?
Yeah, so I Decentralized, like an Apple product, I Decentralized on Twitter. My name is Anthony Bertolino, so you could probably just Google me. Yeah, happy to always chat about anything crypto related, here to help. For iTrust Capital, itrustcapital.com. And yeah, very happy to connect with you guys. Hope your audience enjoys, and the future is bright. It's a good time to be an investor.
Absolutely.
Great stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome talking with you.
Yeah, definitely, guys. I'm sure we'll catch up in the near future, just about everything DeFi anyway.
Sounds good. Yeah, anytime.
Sweet. All right, guys. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too. Have a good one.
Later.